Hey, wonderful leaders. Great to, well, I was going to say see you, but I'm not really seeing you. But I wish I was, okay? Those who are in the room, I am seeing you. And today we've got another leadership talk. And today it's from one of our favorite people in the entire world. Pure heart. Lover of people. Lover of Jesus. Had his birthday, was it last week? And we got to go around. We had a lunch. All the guys on staff took him out to lunch. And the words that were said about him, all of them were accurate. Christ-like, kind, leader, compassionate, strong, all those things. So glad you're on this team. Eric, you honestly make this church so much better. You really, really do. It wouldn't be the same without you and Fat Pierre. We love him so much. He is just, that kid is adorable. That's it. Their how many months is he? He's going to be one. He's 26 pounds. The guy is a tank and absolutely wonderful. Gio, the smile that lights up a room. Obviously, we love Gabby so much, but we love you guys. Glad you're here. Go ahead and pour into us today. We're ready for it.
Thank you so much, y'all. Let's get started. Okay, y'all, as you know, we've been going through the 21 irrefutable laws of leadership. Okay, we want to make sure that we're all growing as leaders. So as in talking about leaders, I do want to quickly say just a thank you to our pastors. It's just the reality is that we would not have the church family that we have if our pastors were not obedient to the call that is on their life. So I just want to say thank you so much. But you know that also applies to you too. Our church family wouldn't be who we're called to be unless you're saying yes to the call that is that God has put on your life. So it's just very important, every serve team member that's listening, every entrepreneur, every mom, every dad, it's important that you're saying yes. It's not just on pastors to make sure that our church family is healthy. It's on every single one of us. And I love that John Maxwell has called these laws of leadership, okay? Not principles of leadership. He has called these laws of leadership because if you disobey a law or you break a law, there's kind of consequences to it. Now, if you break one of these irrefutable laws, you know, like you're not going to die or anything like that, okay? But it will put a bit of a cap on your leadership, right? He's trying to get us all to grow, okay? We take this time out to grow in our leadership. I remember there was this one time I was breaking a law, okay? And this was in Chicago, okay? This is in Chicago, not the best city to break laws, Chi-Town, okay? And I was speeding, y'all, and I will never, this, I'm telling you God honest truth. I'm speeding very fast down the interstate. And a state trooper walks out into the middle of the interstate. Two lanes in. It wasn't like he like just like, let me just, he like walked across an entire lane in the second lane and pointed at me. And he was like, get over. I was going very fast. And I had an old Chevy Caprice. Anyways, I'm rabbit trailing, okay? It's Chevy Caprice, right? The big body right there. And it was a helicopter that clocked me. At least that's what he told me, okay? So anyways, I was breaking the law and there was consequences to that, okay? As we grow in our leadership, let's make sure that we use these laws as well as we can. I definitely got a ticket, okay? I definitely got a ticket.
I'm sure.
It was a random story, okay? But another random story with a point, y'all. Whenever my wife and I got married, no, it was before we're getting married. We had just got engaged, okay? So we were in Sao Paulo, Brazil, and we were going to drive to Rio. And it's like a four-hour drive that, you know, it's Brazil, so a four-hour drive can take like eight, you know? And we were getting there in Rio, and it was like midnight, 1 o'clock. And Rio, like Chicago, isn't the safest city in the country, okay? And we took a random turn, and we ended up in this favela, y'all. And a favela, it's like a slum, okay? And a favela is great. If you live in the neighborhood, you're good. But if you don't live in the neighborhood, you're not good, okay? And y'all, I remember it was three of us, okay? My now wife, Gabby was in the back, and my friend was in the passenger seat, and I'm driving. And we get into this favela, y'all, and there was this dude standing there. He was like 6'7", and he had like muscles like Parker. Like he was like swole. And he was like standing, I'm not exaggerating, y'all. And they're like, oh no, we're in this whatever favela it was called. I don't know what the name of it was. This is like one of the most dangerous favelas in Rio. Oh no. And this guy was standing there. He was like 18 and he's just like standing there. And there was this car on fire on the side of the road, y'all. True story. And literally, Gabby's screaming in the backseat, run him over! Run him over! And I'm like, we're in one of these little cars, you know? Like, he's not going to get hurt, okay? This car is going to get hurt. And I'm like, I'm not running him over. So I'm literally just driving by, and I'm like, hey, and he's looking at me like, what are you doing? And we like go around the block, and there was like this other group of kids, you know, like teenagers. And in Rio, whenever you see like a group of kids, that's where you really have to watch out for. Okay, that can be like the most dangerous. And so it's like 1 a.m. and we're like going around, and they're like looking at us like, what? And I'm just waving, just scared, y'all, just scared. My wife, my buddy are like, run him over, go through him. Anyways, we get out and we get on the interstate, and I'm like, Jesus. But you know what got us out of that? Navigation. GPS, y'all. And to the principle that we're going to talk about today, the law of leadership that we're going to talk about. Cue the title, the law of navigation, y'all. The law of navigation. Took us a long time to get there, y'all, but we got there, huh? It's like story time. Here's a reality, okay? Here's a reality. No plan to go somewhere is a plan to go nowhere. And this is true when it comes to culture. I love that we're taking this time in our church family to talk about culture. We're going through our 12 stones. Pastor Earl just preached a message on humility and honor. We give honor and we walk in humility, okay? We've spoke about eyes of hope and fighting for surrender. This is something that we're really, really intentional about. Remember, no plan to go somewhere is a plan to go nowhere. This is also true with your finances. This is also true with your time. Netflix will just like eat up all your time unless you have a plan for your time. Sleeping in will eat up all of your time unless you have a plan for your time. This is also facts when it comes to leading people. It's so important that you have a plan for those that you're leading, the organization that you're leading, the team that you're leading, even your family that you're leading. It's important that one of the things for our family, it's important that we all sit together and we have dinner, okay? Now, I have a toddler, so sometimes it's crazy and there's like food everywhere, but we're sticking to the plan, y'all, okay? Because if you don't have a plan, you end up going nowhere. Wow. That's good. John Maxwell says this quote. He says, major barriers to successful planning are fear of change, ignorance, uncertainty about the future, and lack of imagination. I'll say it again. Major barriers to successful planning are fear of change, ignorance, uncertainty about the future, and lack of imagination. But how many of you know that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but instead he gave us a spirit of power and love and a sound mind? Whenever it comes to strategic planning, y'all, we can do this. The law of navigation is such an important law in leadership and in growth. But so many times it ends up getting skipped over because it can be intimidating, because you can have a fear of change, because you don't want to change. There can be a certain degree of ignorance. One of the things I think can be scariest whenever you're as a leader is whenever you feel like everything is always going good. Because if there are not problems happening, that means you're not seeing the problems. That doesn't mean it's not happening. And that's a scarier place to be in than a place that has problems. So it could be ignorance. It could be uncertainty about the future. Oh, I don't want to actually make these plans because it's just going to change in 6 weeks. Or I don't want to make plans for the team because it could change in 2 months or in 2 years or in 2 hours. But that doesn't mean you don't plan. Okay, so John Maxwell came up with this acronym of strategic planning called Plan Ahead, y'all. Okay, I'm going to go through all this stuff that he's talking about here. Plan Ahead. So P, predetermine a course of action. Okay. L, lay out your goals. Yeah. A, adjust your priorities. N, notify key personnel. This is important. That one's important. I know I'm going probably too fast for everybody. If you're listening, you're listening online and you're driving right now, I apologize. I'll go through it again. I'm gonna go through once and I'll go through again. Okay. A, allow time for acceptance on ahead. Okay, plan ahead. Allow time for acceptance. H, head into action. E, expect problems. A, always point to the successes. Okay. And D, daily review your plan. Okay, I'm going to read them one more time just because, okay. This is his, whenever John Maxwell is thinking strategically about his organization, about people that he's leading, about his family, this is the strategic plan that he uses, okay? So I'm going to go through it again. Predetermine a course of action. Lay out your goals. Adjust your priorities. Notify key personnel. Allow time for acceptance. So if you're leading a team, your team's going to need some time to kind of digest the plan. Okay? Head into action. Okay? It can't just stay cerebral. Like, you got to like jump into actual plan, like doing the plan. Expect there to be problems. We do not live in a vacuum. Okay? It's just, it's going to happen. And it's okay. It's okay. If there are problems, it's okay. You just pivot. You make changes. And you adjust for every problem. Anyways, I was going to go under the rabbit trail. I don't need to go there. A, always point to the successes. People need to know they're winning. A team needs to know they're winning. A family needs to know they're winning. This is very personal, but my wife and I, when it comes to saving money, okay, I'm like, no, babe, you can't get that because we're trying to save money. She's like, I need to see the wins. I need daily wins. I'm like a slow burn. If you know my wife, you're like, yep, that's my wife. You know, she, and I love that about her. And then the final one is daily review your plan, because there are going to be problems that happen. There are going to be adjustments that you need to make. The secret to the law of navigation is preparation. And, you know, John Maxwell he's done a phenomenal job in this chapter talking about the very, like, macro perspective. So when it comes to preparation, there'll be two sides to it. There's going to be your macro. And so he does a really, really good job of talking about macro preparation, like thinking big, thinking for years. Like, what is it? You're going to college. What is it going to look like when I'm a senior and I'm now graduating college? Because that transition from college into like job can be a scary transition. This is what John Maxwell is talking about. What's your 10-year plan? What's your 5-year plan? He's talking about those things. So there's this macro level of preparation. But then there's also this micro level of preparation. And this would be where I think the word comes in, and, you know, God says, my word is a lamp unto your feet. And I just think there's just something about like this manna, this like daily renewal, this like this trust in God that you like every single step. And so even as you're like thinking big picture, you cannot forget like it's actually a daily fight for surrender. It's actually a daily listening to his voice. It's actually a daily getting in his word. And this like this practical of like the daily can be one of those things that I think people overlook, because it's like it's exciting to be like, I mapped out a 5-year plan. And you're like, I'm going to be a great leader, and I'm going to navigate us through all these like difficult times by spending time in my Bible every day. That's like not as exciting, but it's more important. Because it's actually that daily, it's that micro planning, it's that micro navigation that actually bleeds out into that macro navigation. And I feel like what is happening in our church, to end with this, I feel like what is happening in our church right now is I feel like there's a bit of a stirring going on. And 2 weeks ago, we were in our prayer time that we have on Monday mornings, and it's just like we were praying for revival. And I was like, God, like, stir our hearts. And so, like, for the past week and a half, I've just been praying, like, God, like, stir my hearts, because I feel like there's like miracles. I feel like there's more. I feel like there's some ceilings in my life that like need to be broken. Like, God, like, stir me, like, make me uncomfortable. And I feel like this is something that's actually happening throughout our church family. I feel like there's like this stirring and this expectation of God, what are you going to do? And, you know, in the Bible with the of Bethsaida, right? You would have all these people that would come around, and they're like lame and they're sick and they need like a miracle, and they would come around in expectation for this water to be stirred. And then the first person who jumped in the water, it's like, you got your healing. And I feel like what's happening in our church family right now is I think there's like, we've got some reputation in Dallas and throughout the world and in Guatemala, and there's like, there's a bit of this stirring. So now people are going to start to come like, okay, I need a miracle. God, is this church really as healthy as I hear this churches? God, does this church really have community like I've heard this church has community? God, is the worship culture really what I've heard? Is the leadership training exactly what I've heard about? And there's like this stirring, you know, going on. And so now people are going to come because we've got a little bit of a reputation. People are now starting to come like hurt, homeless, needing help, needing restoration, because they're going to be looking for this stirring of the water for their miracle. And I would say the stirring of the water is the stirring of us. Like, what is happening in us as leaders? And I feel like this stirring for us will be us leading them to Jesus, where their miracle is at, where their miracle is actually going to be at. So I am just praying that as a leadership team, as a staff team, as a serve team, as entrepreneurs, as dads, as moms, as friends, that we would take this law of navigation, sure, but we would think macro, but I want to make sure that we also think micro. Because there is a stirring happening in the moment. We know that God is wanting to use our church to change our city. But there's a stirring in the moment because I believe there are miracles happening on the other side of all it. So God, I pray for every single person in this room. I pray for those who are listening right now. God, I thank you that your hand is on their life. God, I ask, Lord, would you give them the forethought, the knowledge, the discernment to be able to think as they lead teams and as they lead their families and as they lead themselves, God, to think big picture. But Lord, I'm also asking that you would help us all to think on the micro level. God, what are the daily things that we need to do? God, a greatness is built on daily surrender. So God, I pray that the greatness that is on the inside of us that you've designed for every single one of us, God, I'm asking that you would stir it and you would stir it daily. God, I thank you that there are miracles on the other side of us. So God, as we walk into this new building, God, and as we're believing you for the $11 million, God, and as we're believing you for campuses in Guatemala and campuses in San Antonio, God, as we're believing you for more, God, I'm praying that we would be a church family and a leadership team that is stirred to believe you for miracles. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen.